Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Welcome back to the programme. Now, a recent analysis by daftmortgages.ie finds that house hunters have €304,000 on average to spend on a home. That's €27,000 less spending power than a year ago. The typical mortgage seeker also now has €11,000 less savings to put towards a deposit than mortgage seekers in the same position a year ago. On the line now to discuss is General Manager at daftmortgages.ie. Paul Monaghan. Paul, good morning and welcome to Kildare Today.
Thank you. Good morning.
Those findings are quite stark and, I suppose, worrying and not very good for the confidence of first-time buyers.
Absolutely. It hasn't been easy at any point to buy a house in Ireland in the last few years, and unfortunately that's continuing. So to explain the numbers a little bit, how much a buyer spends on a home is obviously made up of their mortgage plus their savings. And what we're seeing is that house hunters now, people looking to buy in the next 6 months, say, have less savings in particular than the same buyers a year ago. And that's what's pulling down how much they might be able to spend.
Right. And I know the sample size was quite large as well. Just tell us a bit about the behind the scenes of the research here.
Yeah, OK. So DAF Mortgages helps house hunters firstly with online tools to plan how much they can spend and calculate their repayments and so on. And one of our tools, the buying budget calculator, has been used by over 170,000 people since it was launched. You know, unique people who go on and make a plan and so on. And that's what the research is based on. And it's all people who are planning to buy a home. So it's forward looking in some way. They're telling us how much they saved and their incomes and so on and so forth. And it's a bit different to other research in that way, which tends to be backward looking people who bought last quarter or last year.
It's not just first-time buyers as well. We're looking at movers here, but in terms of first-time buyers, they have €10,500 less savings for a deposit than this time last year. Movers also reduce the amount that they plan to spend on their home next by 5%. So talk to me a little bit about first-time buyers.
Yeah, so that's right. I mean, there's different segments of buyers. You know, like everyone's different in a way, but we tend to look at four groups ourselves, four groups of our own customers. So there's first-time buyers and movers, and then within them there's the single people and couples or joint buyers. So that makes up the four groups. And there are different trends going on with the different groups. Focusing maybe on the biggest group, which is first-time buyer couples, they, like the rest, have less savings, but they in particular we see kind of plan to borrow more to fill the gap.
Mm.
So that group usually makes the biggest step to upsize when buying, maybe from renting an apartment or living with their parents, even to buying it like a three-bed house, perhaps the kind of biggest jump. And they're really determined to do that to get on with their lives and for their families and so on. So that's one particular group that we see that's their actions, the biggest group.
Yeah, that will result in a €59 increase in their monthly mortgage repayments, making their repayments go from €872 to €931 per month. And first-time buyer couples will spend an extra €708 on their mortgage repayments per year. And I note as well that, it could be argued that reduced savings may be down to spending bouncing back as pandemic restrictions ended, or indeed the increased cost of living that we're seeing. But it all depends, or it all remains to be seen now, how this will affect buyers, because in terms of supply, we're not seeing the supply really meeting the demand for houses.
That's absolutely right. That story is well known for the last few years, that supply is less than demand that's out there, and we certainly see that.
Okay, I know as well that the Banking and Payments Federation showed that average mortgage drawdown by first-time buyers in the second quarter of this year was €263,000, up 13% from a year earlier and the highest level since the BPFI began compiling this data in 2003. Finally then, Paul, what advice would you have for couples or even single people who are first-time buyers or movers when it comes to saving?
So I think it's get good advice, because everyone has different circumstances. And it's particularly advice in two areas. So number one, if they are thinking about borrowing more, perhaps to fill a bit of a gap, just like the BPFI said people have been doing. Getting the lowest interest rate is even more important, since they are borrowing more. And talking to a mortgage broker or going on Daft Mortgages will help you see what the lowest rates are, that are available to you. And I think secondly then as well, if someone is planning or considering borrowing more, and even just to see if that's a possibility for them, that many buyers are familiar with the 3.5 times rule, where they can borrow 3.5 times their income. But what many don't know is that different lenders count income differently. So if you're a self-employed tradesperson or a salesperson earning commission, for example, that kind of variable income is counted differently, which affects how much you can borrow with the different lenders. And again, you know, get good advice. So it's any mortgage broker in Ireland who's access to, you know, all the lenders, including ones customers can't go to themselves, will help the customer with that and help them understand what their repayments would be and how much they could borrow.
Yeah, as I said from the start, I think the very stark findings that house hunters have €27,000 or 9% less spending power than a year ago, and the typical mortgage seeker now has €11,000 or 15% less savings to put towards a deposit than mortgage seekers in the same position a year ago. But good advice there from Paul. He's general manager of daftmortgages.ie. They've compiled that research. And Paul Monahan, thanks for joining us, and very good morning to you. Now, if we move on to, a workshop that's taking place in Naas tomorrow, Minister for Trade, Promotion, Digital and Company Regulation Robert Troy will host a Grow Digital workshop in Naas tomorrow to encourage businesses in the Mid-East region to seize the opportunities that are offered by digital technologies. Jackie McNabb, the head of enterprise with the Kildare Local Enterprise Office, is on the line now. Good morning, Jackie.
Good morning, Owen, and good morning to your listeners.
Tell us more about this workshop then tomorrow, Jackie.
Yeah, we're delighted to have Minister Troy come and visit us in our new Merrick building and announce some of the schemes that are available to businesses in the digital transformation sector. What that means, particularly for businesses, Owen, is that businesses in manufacturing and international traded services, and particularly manufacturing, are facing huge challenges. They're facing, at the moment, in terms of the increased costs, the lack of staff, and every one of them have four main areas that they need to tackle. They need to maximise their revenue. Where are they going to get the sales? Reduce their costs, improve quality of their product line, and increase flexibility. And what the Minister and my colleagues from Enterprise Ireland and the Local Enterprise Office are going to talk about at the workshop is how digital and digital technology can be implemented into one's company to make these vast improvements and help with these challenges. And it'll outline the range of supports that are available to businesses in areas that are facing these challenges and outline the supports that are available through our offices right across the county.
Yeah, Minister Robert Troy saying that the aim of Grow Digital is to help drive a step change in the level of digital uptake by businesses right across the country. We understand the importance of the adoption of digital technologies by businesses, not only so they can realise the productivity and efficiency gains that these technologies can achieve, but indeed to build their resilience as well. And obviously, as we know, digital workshops are very important now, with companies coming back from COVID-19, with some being laid off as well. Registration for the workshop, Jackie, I think is essential. And where exactly is it taking place?
It's taking place in our Merritts building, opposite the RS Kildare in Tavoy Park in Naas. To register, you go on to localenterpriseoffice.ie/Kildare. But in layman's terms, if I may, Owen, just to finally say, you know, implementing a digital strategy might simply be looking at how the need to cut out paper, to go paperless. How can we streamline our systems, our processes, or engage better with our clients? It could be about putting in a new software system, a CRM system, or a CNC machine. And if people register and come to the workshop tomorrow, we can not only advise them how to best implement a digital strategy, but how they can get granted in order to do so.
Right, and just finally then, Jackie, the actual time of this event, when is it taking place tomorrow?
9:30 till 11:30, and with an opportunity to meet the Minister and meet some fellow business people, which is also a great welcome after after being locked up for so long, it's lovely to get back to normal meeting, greeting and supporting our clients in the best way we can possible.
Yeah, good for networking as well, I'm sure, tomorrow.
Yes.
The link for registration, where can people get their hands on that if they want to go?
Again, local enterprise office, localenterprise.ie/Kildare. Or if people wish, they can ring us on 045-98-0534. That's 045-98-0534, the local enterprise office, and we'll book them on directly.
Okay, great stuff. That is Jackie McNabb, Head of Enterprise with Kildare Local Enterprise Office. If you're a business interested in going along to that workshop, it is taking place tomorrow in the Merits Building opposite the Davoy House, Oras Kildara, tomorrow morning between 9.30 and 11.30. And as Jackie said, it encourages businesses to seize the opportunities that are offered by digital technologies. And you can get more details on localenterprise.ie or calling that number 045-980-534. Jackie McNabb, thanks for joining us.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie. Kildare
KFM. Keep your messages coming into us, 0833 97 97 97. Email studio at kfmradio.com, or you can call us on 045 898 999. Shortly we'll be telling you about a Naas flood relief scheme public engagement day that is taking place today in Oras Kildara between 10 and 6. That's after we go to Ciara.
Yes, so best before dates could get the chop. This is to curb waste. Super Value and Marks and Spencers, they have removed the best before dates on some of their fruit and vegetables they sell in order to reduce food waste. Joining me now is Odell LeBullock. She's scientist and food waste prevention team leader with the EPA. Good morning to you, Odell.
Hi, Ciara. How's it going?
Very good, thank you. How does the EPA feel about this move by supermarkets like Super Value and M&S?
Yeah, I think, retailers, grocery retailers have a pivotal point right in the middle of the supply chain. And, you know, as well as looking at their own food waste in store, which they've done a lot of work on that, I think it's really welcome to see that they're reviewing some of their practices that might help us reduce food waste at home. And I suppose the key thing here is to mention, you know, that best before dates are only there for an indication of quality. There's no food safety issues with eating food after best before date. So reviewing products that don't need a best before date is actually a great way to help us all look at ways of reducing our food waste.
So the way you worded it there was there's no problems around eating something after the best before date.
No, I think
is that across the board,
yeah.
Now you're saying that, or just in terms of fruit and veg?
Yeah, no, definitely. Best before date can only go on products that where there is no safety issue. There's another date called a use by date.
Yeah, okay.
And that is there for safety reasons. So anything that has a best before date, it's only that the manufacturers need to guarantee the quality up until a certain time. But after that time, there's no safety issues with eating it. You just might find, and certainly when it comes to fruit and veg, you know, you'll know yourself if it's fresh or not. But even things like, you know, spaghetti or cornflakes, or, you know, things like that, they're not going off after that time, you know, so they may.
So Odile, what would have a best before date and what would have a use by date? Give us some examples that wouldn't have the best before date.
Yeah, I suppose that's probably the best thing to say, is anything that is highly perishable will have a use by date. So things like meat, you know, packaged ham, fish, anything like that, that'll go off, you know, and it will be dangerous if it's gone off, you know, there'll be bacteria on it. They will have a use by date. But most other things you'll find have best before date. So like that fruit and veg, dry goods, all of those things you'll find have a best before date on them.
Now, Odile, the EPA's National Food Waste Attitude Survey last year did reveal that 52% of people threw out food in their households. With this move by supermarkets, like I'm mentioning there, how much potential food waste will we be avoiding?
Yeah, it's really interesting. When we surveyed people, people have really good understanding of the difference between the two dates that I just spoke about there. So very high understanding. But then we also saw that 52% of people said the main reason they throw away food is because it's past its best before date. So we know we probably just fall down on the behaviours around managing our food. So I would, you know, it's very hard to know exactly how much, but I do know a European study had estimated that about 10% of food waste at home does actually come from, you know, people over anticipating on best before dates. So I think, you know, we'll definitely see a drop. It'll just bring us back to understanding a little bit more about how fresh something is ourselves. And certainly when it comes to fruit and veg, that's something that we could do more of.
Now, Marks and Spencers did say that this move was part of their sustainability policy. A spokesperson for M&S Ireland said this weekend, "The other side of the challenge is making sure anything edible we don't sell reaches those who need it most. By partnering with a certain group here, they say, we redistribute surplus food to its network across Ireland. Our promise as we aim for our target of halving food waste is to keep searching for solutions while maintaining the standards and values our customers expect." Super Value, we know, has 223 stores across this country, and they say it has extended the shelf life of 20% of its fruit and vegetable products, while a further 20% are sold as loose and no dates are applied. That's actually a very good point that people forget. When you do buy the loose produce, there is no use by dates on it.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think that, you know, hearing we've been working with retailers. They in 2017, five of the main grocery retailers signed the Food Waste Charter, which was a commitment to review their food waste measure at first, because most people didn't know how much they were wasting in store, that kind of thing. But the other side of that is that they've been looking at ways to reduce the food waste in store through practices like that, donating surplus food. A lot of the retailers already do that. There's Food Cloud, which they would work with quite strongly, you know, and making sure that food that, you know, they probably won't sell on time, but it's still, you know, it's still perfectly good by the time it gets to, you know, charities that can make it into something useful for people in need. So that's a really good idea. You've also, probably most people are quite familiar with discounted food, you know, getting close to its dates that you can buy it cheaper, that you know you can bring home, you know, if it's got a use by date, pop it in the freezer if you're not going to eat it that night or cook it that night, you know. And then other things that they need to do is just in terms of, you know, stock management, making sure they're not over ordering and just making sure, you know, that they're being more efficient with their you know, I think one of the things we found out working with the retailers, it's really difficult to balance our expectations as customers. You know, we expect to see fresh produce when we go in, even in the evening, and you know, kind of managing that kind of demand with the, you know, keeping food waste reduced.
Odile, I want to ask you this just before you go, because of the time we have. You know, you're saying the EPA has had discussions with retailers, etc. One thing that I think annoys a lot of people is the packaging, right? And people understand it a lot more. So they want to go into their local supermarket, wherever it may be, and maybe just buy, would say, 10 potatoes loose. But if they buy a kg of potatoes, would say, they're saving something like at times €1 or €2. And in this cost of living crisis, obviously people are going to go towards that. How can we change the situation that is happening there in terms of the packaging of our fruit and veg?
Yeah, I think, I suppose one of the...
And the pricing, obviously.
I think the pricing is the really important thing. There has been some changes in packaging. You know, I suppose when it comes to food waste, packaging, it's not as obvious as some other goods. Like, packaging keeps the food from being damaged. It keeps it fresher for longer. So there are all of these considerations. And I know some retailers did try to...
Is that true for every fruit and veg, that the packaging keeps it safer?
Not for every, it is for a lot. And I think that's the thing, is getting the balance right. You know, some retailers found that their in-store food waste was increasing when they started to sell a lot more loose products.
Okay.
You know, but I think the pricing is a really important issue, that, you know, it needs to be as good value.
Makes no sense. Just
fruit and veg.
Yeah, logically, yeah. It just doesn't make sense to people.
In terms, there are reasons that we've been told about, you know, it's more kind of efficient to pack things up. You can, you know, gets to the market quicker, that kind of thing. But really, I think we need to be able to, same with things like a smaller loaf of bread, all of those things, it would be lovely to see that they're, you know, the same value as the packaged produce, so that we can buy less if we need less.
Well, Odile, thank you for joining me this morning. That's Odile Le Bullock, scientist and food waste prevention team leader with the EPA. And one listener has got in touch with us here, 0833 97 97 97, to say, with these changes at some supermarkets, isn't this the perfect time to stop packaging items that can be sold loose? Obviously, Odile speaking about there, some fruit and veg have to be sold in packaging, like things like tomatoes, obviously easily damaged, etc. But that is on the news that SuperValue and Marks and Spencer have removed the best before dates on some of their fruit and veg produce, and they will sell it in order to reduce food waste.
Yeah, and you can get more details on how to reduce food waste on the EPA website at www.epa.ie. And thanks to Odile Le Bullock, their scientist and food waste prevention team leader with the EPA. Moving on though, and the Naas Flood Relief Scheme Public Engagement Day takes place today in Oras-Kildare between 10 and 6 o'clock. So getting underway in the next 10 minutes. Fine Gael councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Fintan Brett, is on the line now. Good morning, Fintan.
Good morning, Owen.
Tell us about this day then. Is it exactly what it says on the tin, how to relieve flood issues in Naas?
Yes, well, I suppose this comes as a health warning, Owen, insofar as we've been getting a briefing since about 9:15 this morning, so I'm coming out midway through this. But look, this originally came from, there was what was called a CFRAM study done back about 2012. CFRAM is the Catchment Flood Risk Assessment and Management, and in the eastern part of the of Ireland, all towns and that were these studies were carried out. And while Naas never had a history really of flooding, it was identified as an, what they called an ASA, an area for further study on that there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the Arabs got that contract last year, and they have now finished the first section of that in doing the what they call the hydraulic analysis of it, and that, and the hydraulic analysis really is you take an area all around the town, and what they do is they really take the rainfall, the lie of the land, the flow directions, and identify where's pinch points and all that. The what we've got this morning is very positive, in fact, insofar as what Arab has discovered is that the CFRAM report overstated the flood risk on it. And I'd give you, Naas, as you know, has no major rivers. We have, I suppose, the Morell that skirts the town would probably be the biggest. But if you take two of the biggest rivers or streams, you'd have the Broadford stream, you'd have the Morell River and the Naas stream. The Broadford, in the CFRAM was quoting that at peak times it was almost 5.5 cubic metres a second, whereas now they're saying it's only less than 2.5, and the Morell River was almost 10 cubic metres a second, the flow at peak times, and now they're saying it's less than 5. So that's a big positive for the town. So what we're left now with is that the risk as identified by CFRAM is not as big as they had set out. Plus, Arabs will now, after doing this hydraulic analysis, they will go into the engineering assessment then. So what they will do is they'll identify areas that may be a danger of flooding. And invariably, what you have there is you have culverts, because when you get a river, it fills up and all that and it flows on. But if you have a culvert, that can't expand. So they're going to look at areas where there may be pinch points, as they call them, and then they will design works to make that culvert bigger and alleviate the chance of flooding there, because as this says, it's risk management. This, so they're trying to identify the risks and take them out of it.
But is it just in Naas Town?
This is all around Naas Town, Monreed, right around the, let's say within 3 kilometres in the centre of the town, all around Naas. Yeah.
What's the purpose?
It's absolutely very, very, very good report there, and a very, I'd have to say, going back to the Naas local area plan, we had 5 disagreements with the planning regulator, who was calling out flood risk areas, and we were saying to them that the specific flood risk for that was saying that you were wrong. Eventually, we got them to roll back and forward them, but one of them we decided we'd wait until this report came out, and as far as I can see, this report is saying that actually we were right on the five of them. So that's right. Good that local knowledge wins out a lot of the times in the end.
Just finally then, Fintan, what's the purpose of the public engagement day? So it's taking place between 10 and 6 today. If people want to go along to Oriskill, Dora, what will they see? What will they be discussing, or essentially what's going to be brought forward to it?
Yeah, well, what they will have at level two, there'll be maps laid out, and they'll have a load of staff there from Arabs. And if they have, let's say, I suppose if you take number one, if you take people with land that's zoned for construction, they'll be able to see if that's the safety of that, that there's no risk for them. There's no risk for them if they were to, let's say, build on their land and that. It's just the whole town, the Borg Gardens, the whole history of it there. It's an excellent report on the hydrology, and how, I suppose, the most important thing on it is how the water flows, where there's, as I said at the outset, it's a combination of streams and small rivers, and how they all interact with each other, and the lakes that down by the hospital, Lakeside Park, and that there, where there are man-made lakes and that. And I suppose the one thing that this has identified is silting, that the problems, and I've found that a few times, even on small streams up in Johnstown and out at Punchestown, where for some reason there seems to be an abnormal amount of silt. So Arabs are looking at why that is happening, and that also, believe it or not, in a question that Councillor Moore asked, is a problem down at the lakes and the burgs. So but when people come in, their area of the town, they'll be able to get an idea of how, you know, if there was a risk there. But to me, from this morning, the original CFRAM said that there was no history of flooding, and I think this is confirming that.
Okay, the public engagement day for the NAICE flood relief scheme taking place today in Oriskill, Dara, between 10 and 6 o'clock. No registration necessary. You can just turn up today, and that's getting underway in the next few minutes and running until 6. Fine Gael councillor on the NAICE Municipal District, Fintan Brett. Thanks indeed, Fintan.